Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Harbin and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. We're sitting on a terrace in Parliament with helicopters going overhead, but hopefully you will be able to hear us as we discuss the latest news from Boris Johnson's brutal reshuffle. We've seen more than half of the cabinet sacked, and we're seeing now a number of appointments to the bigger offices of state. So we've seen Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab, Home Secretary Priti Patel, Chancellor Sajid Javid, and Michael Gove to Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. James, what's the theme of this reshuffle, or new government, as some people prefer to call it?
I think this is clearly a government that is serious about no deal. Sajid Javid is the Chancellor. Yes, he voted Remain in the referendum, but he's been very bullish about the government's ability to kind of pull economic levers and mitigate the effects of no deal. Priti Patel is Home Secretary. You know, she voted against May's withdrawal agreement three times. Dominic Raab is the new Foreign Secretary and First Secretary of State. He resigned from the cabinet over Theresa May's deal. Michael Gove has been promoted by Boris Johnson, a move that some thought was a surprise to some, given the past history between them. But he's been given this job of essentially coordinating the government's no-deal planning. And I mean, that is an interesting choice, because Michael Gove is one of the people in the last May cabinet who is kind of most concerned about no-deal. And I think that is an interesting sign that Boris Johnson is recognising that there are genuine challenges about no-deal. And so he's chosen the person who is most effective in government among the Tories at getting Whitehall to work to do that. And then if you add in that Michael Gove's former special advisor, Dominic Cummings, you know, obviously the Vote Leave campaign supremo is back in Downing Street, you can see that gang being got together. I also think that, you know, often we are told with reshuffles that they reflect the diversity of modern Britain. I think this one genuinely seems to pass that test in my mind. The Foreign Secretary, the Chancellor and the Home Secretary, they're all children of immigrants. Half the great offices of state are held by BME politicians. And I think that is going to make it much more difficult for those in the Labour Party who want to kind of attack Boris Johnson as some kind of Trump-style nativist figure to do so.
Katie, Boris Johnson may be less worried about attacks from Labour than he is about attacks from the number of ministers who he sent to the backbenches. Some have departed apparently by request. Chris Grayling decided it was time not to move on to another department where he could become notorious, but others have been sacked. Tell us a little bit about some of the sackings today.
Well, it's a very long list, and I think to go through it in detail would go past the usual 10-minute length of this podcast, but I think probably the ones that I think have caused the most upset or the most surprise, the first one being Penny Mordaunt, so the first ever British female defence secretary, and a situation where she has been sacked from her job, having only been there for a couple of months. And on the surface, that has surprised a lot of people, because she is a Brexiteer, she's someone who could be signed up to the no-deal strategy. I think ultimately, it comes down to the fact that there was bad blood growing for some time between Boris Johnson and Penny Mordaunt. And there was some anger, or perhaps upset, for a different way of putting it, in the Boris Johnson camp that she had backed Jeremy Hunt when they felt that they'd been led to believe that she was someone who could work or support Boris Johnson. And adding to that, the fact that we've had these resignation watch lists for some time under the Theresa May government. Penny Mordaunt has apparently always been on the edge, but never quite done it. And I think if you are a Brexiteer who has quit for your principles, you are probably judged that slightly differently than those who stuck around the cabinet table. So I think those were the elements in that. But optics-wise, you could say that this is a potential PR misfire, the fact that they have axed the first ever female defence secretary.
And replaced her with a man.
The replacement is Ben Wallace, someone who I think does have very good qualifications and relevant experience for that role. He has had an 8-year esteemed military career. He has been on the APPG on Iran. And if you look at his role as security minister in the Home Office, there's plenty of relevant experience there. But I think because Ben Wallace is also a very close friend of Boris Johnson, in the sense he is a long-time supporter, he supported him his last leadership bid as well as this one, back when it's a little bit less cool to do so. I think there will be a sense that perhaps Penny Mordaunt, amongst some MPs you're seeing already, shouldn't have been moved just for not supporting Boris Johnson. And I think that's the optics he's going to have to ride out. But I do think as an appointment, it still has enough relevant experience that I think you should be able to keep a lid on the rep.
It's because loyalty hasn't protected people at all in this reshuffle, has it, James? James Brokenshire, for instance, who was an early supporter of Boris Johnson and had been advising him on the transition to government, is out as Housing, Communities and Local Government Secretary, which must be a bit of a shock to him.
I think that is a sign of how extensive a reshuffle Boris Johnson wanted. You know, in that James Brokenshire has signed up to the October 31st deadline, was one of those first cabinet ministers to back Boris Johnson, yet he still goes. Also, it's worth reflecting on this remarkable fact that for the first time in 18 years, the runner-up in the Tory leadership contest will not serve on the winner's front bench. Jeremy Hunt has turned down the job of Defence Secretary and decided to return to the back benches. And I think this is kind of interesting call by Jeremy Hunt, but it's not without risk for both Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt. For Boris Johnson, it's harder to talk about party unity and bringing the party back together when the person that you beat in the leadership contest isn't in your cabinet. But for Jeremy Hunt, especially in the Tory party, to say that you think that being Defence Secretary is essentially beneath you is not going to be a universally popular decision with Tory MPs or Tory party members.
Katie, who are going to be the new troublemakers on the backbenches? We've talked a lot about the Gawkward squad, and that was made up of ministers who had already resigned, or like Philip Hammond, David Gawk, Rory Stewart, resigned today before Boris Johnson had a chance to even phone them up. But there are going to be ministers who've been sacked who are going to be pretty cross. Is Jeremy Hunt going to be one of them, for instance?
I think there's potential that these ministers are furious, they have lost their jobs and they go to their backbenches and in turn decide to vow vengeance. But I think for someone like Jeremy Hunt, it is difficult because his Brexit policy by the end of that campaign was not that different to Boris Johnson's. So for him to suddenly start, if you go on the Brexit route, saying, I don't agree with this no deal, I think would make him look like another Jeremy Hunt flip-flop. So with these ministers, we actually know their Brexit positions fairly well because of their prominence over the past couple of years. So I think where there is natural grounds for them to take issues on things that they have believed for some time they will, I think that were they to just switch because they're annoyed at losing their job, it would be quite transparent. I was struck by one thing, though, speaking to a Boris Johnson supporter tonight who was surprised by the scale of this reshuffle. And they did say to me, though, if you look at everyone who has been sacked, though, can you imagine a single person there not voting for a Brexit deal? All these people are desperate to vote for Brexit deals. And therefore, if Boris Johnson can get something, these people will be on side and in the right voting lobby.
I think two people I predict might cause some trouble. Caroline Noakes, who has been attending all these meetings that Philip Hammond held with government ministers to kind of prepare essentially the resistance to Boris Johnson if he goes down the no deal route. She discovered that she was being sacked from Twitter and tweeted that she wasn't very happy about that. And I also think an intriguing question is, what does David Mundell do? The Scottish Secretary, he has been sacked by Boris Johnson, suggests he's going to be replaced by someone who only entered Parliament 2 years ago. And obviously one of the big questions about no deal is, what does it mean? What would it mean for the union? And I think it'll be very interesting to see where he positions himself on that. Although I would note on that point that with Michael Gove, who is obviously a Scot, in that no deal planning, kind of cross-government planning role in the transductive Lancaster, I suspect those devolution questions will get quite a lot of attention from the heart of government now.
Do you think on that Scotland question, the David Mundell decision to sack him is a surprise to lots of Scottish Conservative MPs? Now, there were rumours that the Boris camp didn't particularly want David Mundell in his cabinet, but whenever you asked a Scottish Conservative MP about it, and perhaps they were saying this because they didn't want to look like they were going for that job, but they said, in truth, it doesn't matter if one of us is better suited politically. With such a new intake, most of them came through in 2017 election, Mundell does need to stay for at least a year. You could have more junior ministers who then build their way up and take it over. So I think there's a real question over who they then put in, because for Scotland, for Boris Johnson, is going to be one of his biggest challenges. He has many challenges, but if you look at his popularity in Scotland, he has polled worse than Nigel Farage of the Brexit Party. And you have the SNP, he wanted to depict him as a racist. You have the Lib Dems and Jo Swinson leading the charge and saying he is a nationalist. So you do need to have this strong Scottish presence. Now, it might be that they've concluded David Mundell's heart is not in a Boris Johnson government. They might be right about that, and they want to get someone more enthusiastic. But have they got the skill level? And I but by the time this podcast out, I presume you may know, but do you go for one of the new intake or do you go for a peer and try and do it that way is one other theory going around.
James, what do you think has been the weakness of this reshuffle so far? With previous reshuffles, for instance, there was one that David Cameron conducted in 2012 where he didn't appoint any women until late on, and then suddenly we had a here come all the women raft of appointments to show that he was pro-woman. What's the sort of crack in this reshuffle at the moment?
I don't think we can see it in the round yet. I think one of the things he has to do is show that he is, so far, the challenge is bringing the party together. You know, do we see, for example, which might be out of date by the time this podcast comes out, do we see a Nicky Morgan, for example, returning to government from a different wing of the Tory party to Boris Johnson? I think that's one thing he needs to do, because at the moment, the direction of government is quite clear, but I think he needs to make this, I think this cabinet needs to look broad-based. I mean, that is the kind of question that we wait to see, but that might well be addressed by the time that this podcast is out.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Katie. And there's plenty more analysis going on Coffee House, so do stay tuned. Thanks for listening.